Today's Shir Masech Vav Kama Daf Samach Vav. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Samach Vav Amar Aleph at the fourth line. Ad Kan LePligi. In our previous year, we had discussed the opinion of Rav, who says that if somebody stole something, the assessment of the value of what he stole in order to make a determination how much he has to pay back is evaluated at the Shas HaGneva, what it was worth at the time of the Geneva. Whereas when we speak about the Kefil payment or the Dal of a Hay payment, that is evaluated according to the Shas HaMod Bedin. We had also discussed in our shir, in our previous shir, if the Ganav had made a change or a change had happened to what had been stolen, we spoke about the case of an eagle, of a calf, for Nasa Shor that became an axe, would that have an effect on the Ganav's responsibility to pay Dalad for hay? Because as we discussed, the Machloikis, Beishami, Beishilil, what is the halachic ramification of a shinui if there was a change to this animal that was stolen? Begins today's shir, the Gemara saying, At Kan LePligi, we've only had a Machloikis of Rav, Loin Rav Chanina, Ella, with the case that we just mentioned with the eagle that became a shor, the Maharas Sava, that it is the opinion of Rabbi Loi Shinui Kaina, that the Ganav, by having the Shinui happen while the animal was under his jurisdiction, it becomes his. And since now the animal becomes his, he will not be chayv for Arba Chamisha. Well, Maharas Sava, and Rav Chanina's opinion is that Shinui Kaina, that she ain't Shinui Kaina, and that even though the animal changed statuses, it doesn't make a difference. It's if he slaughters it or he sells it, he'll be chayv dal chamisha. Avle in shlume, as far as how we assess the value regarding the payment, kule almam, everybody will agree. K'nemikar mishalim, everybody agrees that as far as the halacha of the evaluation, that is done according to the time, according to its value at the time of the Geneva. And therefore, if nothing had changed, that's the way we make the assessment. Says the Gemara, what is the proof to this approach? So before we go further, this is the way Rashi learns the Gemara. And of course, this is the way we're going to learn the Gemara. The Ad Kan LePligi, when the Gemara says Ad Kan LePligi, the Machloikis is regarding the animal, the Machlokes Rabbi Loi and Rabbi Chanina, if there was a change in the animal. However, there is the opinion of the Ravid that Ad Kan LePligi, that when the Gemara says Ad Kan LePligi, it's actually referencing the Machlokes of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel that we also discussed in our previous year regarding the Halacha of Shinui. But of course, we're going to learn, as I said, like Rashi. So everybody agrees, says the Gemara, even Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Loi, Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Loi both agree that when it comes to assessment, we assess according to the value of the Shas Geneva. The Tani, in the Bryce, it says that Misham Teshlume Kefa Teshlume Arav Chamisha, that you pay, the Chanina's opinion is that you pay the Kefal, or you pay the Arav Chamisha, Kein Shigonav, as if at the same time as it was stolen, even though things have changed. There's no argument that this eagle, that this calf became a shor. Yet the halacha is that it doesn't make a difference. The halacha is you pay according to what it was at the time of the Geneva. So ask the Gemara, Lematavati of the Rav, shouldn't this brisa clearly be a refutation to the opinion of Rav? Dama Rav, the Rav has been saying, Gonav, Kain Shagonav, Hakaren Chain Gonav, the Karen for the actual principal is paid at the value it was when you stole it. However, umisham tashlumei abtarbav kefil v'tashlumei abav chamisha k'shasa mod bedin. Amar Rava says Rava that teloyim k'rimikara. Rav said his halacha not in all situation, that if the ganef doesn't want to pay back with money, He wants to pay back with animals. So when he wants to pay back with animals, he pays back kirmi koro. So even if he's paying kefil, but he's paying kefil, he's paying his kefil with money. So the Gemara is saying that you pay according, if you're paying with animals, you pay with the type of animal you stole. When it comes to pay with domim, but if you're going to be paying with money, so that's what Rav says, k'dachshav, you're going to pay according to what they're worth now. This, again, the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Tosis, Divrei Maskil Taloyim, quotes the Rabbeinu Tam that says that there's a difference, what the Gemara means to say, there's a difference when an animal changed statuses, the example that I keep on discussing, the calf that became a cow, versus the situation where something went down, up and down, in value. So what Rashi, the Rabbeinu Tam, says, that if the change was in the body of the animal, like the change from an eagle to a shawl, that's where Rav will agree, that's where Rav says you go according to what it was when you stole. Whereas if there was a change in value because of a price fluctuation in the value of what you stole, there Rav will say that you go according to Kishasa Madabedin. That's the way Rabbeinu Tam learns. The Re disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam. Continues the Gemara Amar Rava. Shinui Koina, if the Ganif made a physical change in the item that he stole, the halacha is that you don't have to pay back the item that you stole, even though the Torah Kedosh says the Heshev has a gzela ashegozal. But a shinui, if the ganef materially changed what he stole, koina, he becomes the owner of this object, and therefore the halacha is that he only has to pay back money, he doesn't have to give back the actual object. So Tosfos points out that the way we know this, because the Torah Kedosh says, Veishev is a gzela asher gozal. So it has to be only asher gozal. So Tosfos says that if he had made a very significant change that was not reversible, for that we don't need a pasuk, says Tosfos. It's obvious that the ganef becomes the owner of this object, and since the ganef becomes the owner of the object, that's what he has to, that's all he'll have to pay back. What was that he won't have to give back more than money. Our Gemara is teaching us that even if it was a shinui, it's a reversible change, the Torah says you don't have to give back the actual object, all you have to do is give back the value. Says the Gemara, Siva, there's a pasuk that supports this halacha, the Tanina, and we learn a brisa that also says that this is the halacha. Explains the Gemara, Siva, as we just said, the Torah Kedosha says, the Heshev has a gzela shegozel. Why does the Torah have to write, asked the Gemara, Matai Meloima shegozel? All the Torah should have said is the Heshev has a gzela to teach us, Ikein shegozel. If this object that you stole is now the same as it was when you stole it, then the halacha is yachzer, return the actual object to the owner. However, vimlav, if it's not the way it was at the time you stole it, then dom ba'alma b'shlumei, you don't have to actually give back the object. We have to just give back the value of what you stole. So Rabbi Chanan asks, why is that a halacha? Why is the halacha that if it changed it, you don't have to give back the actual object? So Rabbi Chanan says that we know that the Gemara often speaks about different kinyanim, and when you do hagbah, the halacha is that that's considered a valid kinyan. So actually suggests Rabbi Chanan that it should really be as soon as the ganef made hagbah on the object that he stole, it should becomes his. However, because the Torah wants him to return what he stole, that's why the halacha teaches us that it's not enough. But certainly, if he not only did hagbah, but it was also changed, the Torah agrees that just giving back the value would be adequate. Vimlav, so if he didn't make a change, imken shegozel yachzer. Vimlav, but if it's not like it was when he stole it, then the halacha is domim ba'alma ba'shlumei. All he needs to do is pay it. And then continues the Gemara, Tanina, we also have a pasuk, because, so ask the Mefarshim, if as we have a brisa. If we have a pasuk, why do we need a brisa? Because, explains the Sefer Torah Chaim, as we're going to learn, that the halacha is v'heshev as gzeila shegozel, that the halacha is that under certain circumstances, as we discussed and will discuss, the ganav has to add a choymish when he swore falsely. And the halacha is that rule only applies to the ganav himself, not to his son. So I would say that pasuk that we just quoted is there to teach us that halacha. So where do we know this halacha? That if the ganav made a physical change to what he stole, he only has to pay back the value. Says the Gemara, Tanina, because we learned it in the following Mishnah, and Mitzvah Shem, we're going to learn the Mishnah on Daf Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis. The Mishnah says, Agoizel Eitzim V'Osim Kalim. Somebody stole wood and made it and fashioned them into a vessel. Tzemer, he stole wool, V'Osim Begodim, and made clothing out of them. Mishalim Kshas Hagzela. We see that he only has to pay what it was worth at the time he stole. But he's paying cash, he's not giving back the actual item. Inami, says the Gemara, there's another Mishnah that supports this. It's a Mishnah that we're going to learn in Mr. Shem Masech Techulin, Daf Kuf Laman Hei Adrab Amar Aleph. And here too, the Torah Chaim points out, we already had a great proof from this from the Mishnah that we just quoted here in Masech Baba Kama. Why does the Gemara feel a need to bring another Mishnah? Explains the Torah Chaim, we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem that there's a concept of Takonis HaShavim. Chazal wanted to encourage people to give back what they stole. And that's why they said you don't have to always give back the actual item that you stole. You could give back something, you could give back the money. But that was a Gzeirah D'Rabbanan. So maybe that Mishnah, says the Torah Chaim, the Gemara's concern, is only here to support what was taught in that din the Rabbanon. The Gemara wants the proof from the Mishnah we're going to quote now in Masechta Chulin, that Midaraisa, the halacha is that Shinu, if there was a change, that is that the Ganav only has to give back the value. So the Gemara, the Mishnah Masechta Chulin, speaks about a case, if somebody cuts the wool of sheep, there's a locha of reishis hageiz. The locha of reishis hageiz means that you have to give that first wool that's cut as a matnas kuna to the kohen. So the Mishnah says if somebody cuts the wool of five sheep, he has to give reishis hageiz to the kohen. Loi hispig litna loi, if you didn't have an opportunity to give to the kohen, achet savai, until you dyed that wool, potter, then there's no chiv reishis hageiz. Alma, what do we see from here? That the dyeing of that gaze, the coloring of that gaze, shinui koina, makes it yours, and you don't have to give it to the kohen. Of course, Tosus points out that if you don't dye the entire wool, part of the wool is left undyed, that part should be, from that's what you should give the reishis hagoyin to the kohen. Moreover, even if you already separated part of the wool to give to the kohen, and then you dye that part, the halacha is that the rest of the wool that you didn't cut, you have to give, the rest of the wool that you didn't cut, you have to give from there to the kohen. Why is the halacha? Yes, I colored it. And as we're learning in our Gemara, shinui kohena, by me coloring it, I did a shinui, becomes mine. But that doesn't mean, as our Gemara is saying, that just because shinui koina, that hasn't meant that the ganav doesn't have to repay the value of what he stole. So why would the halacha not be by the kohen that you have to return the value to the kohen of the wool that you colored? So the Rishonim make a very big distinction. They say as follows, when you steal something from somebody, so that object had an owner, and you have an obligation to return either the actual object or the value of what you stole. But when we speak about a kohen, when you owe kohen Rosh Hashanah, there is no one specific kohen you have to give your matnas kuna to. You can give the matnas kuna to any kohen. You have a right to choose which kohen you're going to give your matnas kuna to. So that makes a halacha of mamon she'en lo tovim. There is no specific individual that could come and make a claim on that money. We see that concept explained the Rishonim in different places, where if a there's nobody could make a specific claim, the claim is a weaker claim. Another explanation is the Meiri's explanation. The Meiri says that since at the time that I died, the person died that will, it did not belong to any specific kohen, because he hadn't yet given it to a kohen. So that's why it's not considered a case of gezel gomer, full-fledged gzela. Where is there a halacha that you have to give back what you stole when what you did was gezel gomer? Since what you did here is not considered gezel gomer, the halacha doesn't require you to repay anything to a kohen. Ask the Gemara now, Yiyush. If the owner of the object that was stolen, the owners were miyash, they gave up on getting it back. Amri Rabbanan, the nikni. The halach is that the Rabbanan say that too is a way that it becomes the object that belongs to the kohen. Miu, says the Gemara, lo yadinan, we're not quite certain if this kinyan of Yiyush is the rice or the Rabbanan. Either rice. Where I would say it's midaraisa, midah dehava and mitzah aveda. It would be no different than somebody who found somebody's lost object. Mitzah aveda. What's the halacha if somebody finds somebody's lost object? Lav kiva demiyash marvinei. Since the owner gives up any hope on this object, mikama deleis liyadei, that he gave up hope before the person who found it. Konele. So when the person picks it up, it becomes his. And Rashi explains, how do we know that so is the halacha? Because the Torah Kedosha says, V'chein tas l'chol avedas achicha, asher tovim menu mitzasa. The Gemara Masechta Baba Metzia, Daf Chof Beis or Beis teaches us that if it's something that is completely lost, the Gemara speaks about something that fell into the sea, that certainly whoever owned it gave up hope of ever retrieving it. The halacha is that whoever finds it could keep it. Tosfos says that the way we know that Yiyush is koina, because the Torah says when we speak about the halacha of Hashavas Aveda, the Torah does use the words v'chein tasa l'simlosai, that if you find somebody's garment, you have to return it. And the Gemara Masechta Baba Metzia Daf Chav Zayin Amar Aleph Chacham teaches us there's no chiv of returning, only something which is similar to a garment. A piece of garment, the owner of that garment could identify that garment as belonging to him, and therefore he's not miyash. It seems that if it was something that was lost that is not identifiable, the owner gives up on it, and therefore it becomes the property of the person who found it. Alma, so kivin demiyash mora, it's once the owner gives up hope. Kanele, so says the Mara Hainami, just like we've just learned by Aveda, the loch is that if it's lost and the owner gave up on it, it becomes the property of the one that found it. Says the Gemara Hainami by Geneva as well. Kivin demiyash mora, if the owner gives up on it, kanele, it becomes the property of the Ganef. Al-Makana. So here we see that Yiyush is Koina Midaraisa. Oidema. Or we can make an argument, says the Gemara, the Loidamil Aveda. We can't compare the situation of somebody stealing an object to somebody finding a lost object. Because Aveda, he da'kas liyadeh, when somebody finds a lost object, he didn't do anything wrong. Avalhai, but when we speak about a ganef, Kivan to be Surah Asliyadeh. It came to him through a Geneva, Midrabanan, the Rabbanan who. So even if we'll say that the is a Kin Yish, but it's only a Kin Yish, the Rabbanan who. The Rabbanan, the Amr Rabbanan Nikni. And why did the Rabbanan institute that he should become his? Netakaras HaShavim. Chazal wanted that it should be easy for a person to do tshuva. And if we're going to make you return the actual item that you stole, people are going to be reluctant to give it back. Rav Yosef Amar Yish and Akoina, Rav Yosef's opinion is that even Midarabanan is a ganef is not koina. The Mefarshim ask, if Yish, what is the lomdus, what is the reasoning why Yish works? And they explain, because it's hefker. So if Yish is the concept of hefker, why should it make a difference if Bisura Asliyadeh, as the Gemara just said, the ganef got it illegally versus the person who found an Aveda, he got it legally. So Imri Bina says that since this person who stole has an obligation with the Raisa to return what he stole, we keep on quoting the Pasuk of a Heshev as a Gzela. So says the Imri Bina, the halacha of a heshiv as a gezela weakens the yush, that it shouldn't be considered a full-fledged, it shouldn't be considered a full-fledged yush. Emachna Frayim has a different approach. He says, when somebody loses something, so the fact that he lost it is what caused the owner to be meyash. When somebody steals something, it's not that the person who owns the object was miyash from it. He was put into a position of yish by an external situation. So he says those two yish are not the same type of yish. The Birkas Shmuel, Reb Baruch Ber, has a much easier approach to understand the difference. Somebody loses something, and he's miyash. Then the person who finds it, after the yush. So first was the yush, and then the person who found it. Whereas by a ganef, many times something is stolen, but the person from whom it was stolen does not become aware that it was stolen until later. So that means that the moment the ganef took it, the ganef picked it up before there was yush. And therefore, since the ganef took it up before there was yush, that yush is not the same as when the yush took place before the shomer aveda picked it up. It's a beautiful pshat. The only issue with this pshat is that sometimes by aveda, the yush could be only after the person found it. And by geneva, the yush sometimes, by geneva, typically, we understand what Rav Baruch Ber says, the Yush will always be only after the Geneva. Esrei Rav Yosef L'Rabba. Rav Yosef asks from Rabba, that Rabba says that Yush is affected by Geneva. The halacha is, we're going to learn a Mitzvah Shem and a Mishnah later, on Daf Tzadik Vav Amabez. Gozel Chometz, if somebody stole Chometz for Avol of a Pesach, and now Pesach passed, and we know, of course, once Pesach passed, it becomes Asur B'Hanah. So can, and we've also been discussing extensively in our shiur, that the halach is that when you steal something, what you need to do is return it. So can the person who stole it just go back and tell to him, Harei Shel Cholof Anecha, I'm giving you back what I stole. And now it's yours. Even though what I'm giving him is worthless, says the Gemara. Let's analyze this case. Once Pesach came, certainly there is no question that the owner of this chametz was miyash, because he doesn't want to have chametz over Pesach. So says the Gemara, ask Rabbi Yosef, v'isal kedatach yish koina, that as soon as yish takes place, the owner is miyash, as soon as yish takes place, the other person is koina, amai oimaloi. How could the Gazlan tell the Nixandl, Hareshul Cholof Anacha, Dumei Ma'ayibay Shlumilei? It's his. It can't give back something that's his. He should have to give him back the value. Because what he's giving back is worthless because it's Chometz Shal. It's chametz shavu of a Pesach. Amalei, so Rabbi answers to Rabbi Yosef, ki kamen ano. Yes, we speak about Yiyush, and yes, we speak that after Yiyush, the ganav becomes the owner of this object. When do we say Yiyush? Ze miyash, when the owner is miyash, the ze roitz alikness, and the gazlan wants to take ownership. Here, and I always find this gemara so fascinating. The gemara is saying that the person who is the gazlan, even though he's a gazlan, he doesn't want to violate Hilchas Pesach. And he doesn't want to own chametz on Pesach. And therefore, hi, zeh miyash, the zeh ein roitz aliknos, the gazlan doesn't want to take ownership on something which is chametz shavel of a Pesach. And therefore, even though there is yiyush, it doesn't become the gazlan's unless coupled with the yiyush, there's also his interest in taking ownership. Here he had no interest and taking ownership. So here we're learning the Veheshev is a Gzela Asher Gozal, that the halacha is that you could give back what you stole, even though it doesn't have the same value, because he could always say of Charei Shalcha Lefanecha. So from here we see that even though he's able to say Charei Shalcha Lefanecha, but what he's giving back to the person that he stole from is really, it's worthless because it's Chom Shavu of a Pesach. The Noida Behuda disagrees. And the Noida Behuda says that Midah Raisa, Chometz that is Osa Bahano only during Pesach. Chometz Shavu of a Pesach is only a Gzeira the Rabbanon because people shouldn't violate the Isser of Baal Yirah. So Chazal of holding on to chametz over Pesach. So that's why Chazal made a rule of chametz shavel over Pesach, that chametz that was owned by a Jew over Pesach becomes osa b'hanor. Says the Yehuda, when in the case of stolen chametz, there's no reason for such a knas. The person from whom the chametz was stolen wasn't holding on to chametz on Pesach. It wasn't b'rishusoy. It wasn't under his control during Pesach. It was by the Gazlan. And therefore, says the Noida Behuda, when somebody stole chametz, held on to that chametz over Pesach, and then after Pesach, gives it back to the person whom he stole from, the Harei Shel Cholof Anecha, says the Noida Behuda, doesn't just mean that I give you back the chametz, even though, as we learned Pshat in the Gemara, it's worthless. Actually, it's not going to be worthless since the person from whom the chametz was stolen did not do anything wrong. He does not deserve to be penalized that chametz should be usur. The Rabbi Kiveger disagrees. Rabbi Kiveger's opinion is that even though this person, this victim, this person from whom the chametz was stolen from didn't do anything wrong, it doesn't make a difference. Since the chametz was by a Jew over Pesach, by the Gazlan, who is Jewish, it becomes also because of Chametz Shavuot over Pesach. And what Harei Shel Cholof Anecha means is the way we learned it. He could give it back to the person from whom it was stolen, even though it's actually worthless. So now the question is, our Gemara just said that if somebody stole Chametz from somebody, held on to that Chametz for the duration of Pesach, and then gives it back after Pesach, he could still say, Harei Shalcha Lefanecha. And a very big part Rashi explains of understanding this is because it's Hezek Shein HaNikar. Even though, as we just finished explaining, certainly according to the opinion of Rabbi Kiveger, this chametz is worthless, but to the person who looks at the chametz, it's perfectly fine. What would be the halacha by an esrig? What happens if somebody stole an esrig before Sukkos, and now wants to return after Sukkos, will we also say by an esrig that the gazlan could say Harei Shel Cholof Anecha? The opinion of the Prima Godim is that just like by chametz, the Gemara just said you could say, give back the chametz and say a reshol chol fenecha. So too would be the halacha by an esrig. The Pesach Tshuva in Choshe Mispit, Simon Shin Samach Gimel Sivkot and Aleph, say that there's a fundamental difference between chametz and an esrig. He says, we eat chametz after Pesach. Of course, the chametz that we eat after Pesach should be chametz that was produced after Pesach, but we're allowed to eat chametz after Pesach. Since we're allowed to eat chametz after Pesach, as we just explained, quoting Rashi, giving back chametz, even though this chametz is osva noh, because it was chametz, shovel of a Pesach, it doesn't look any different than any other chametz. And therefore, the halach is, you could say, harei shalcha lefanecha. Whereas, says the Pesach Tshuva, an esrig after Sukkot has no value to anyone. No one needs an esrig after Sukkot. So even though the esrig looks fine, but the esrig after Sukkot has no value to anybody, and it is nicker, it is noticeable that this is a worthless object. And therefore, by an esrig, we can't say the concept of hezek shein nicker, and since we can't say the concept of hezek shein nicker by an esrig, says Reb Kiveger, says Pesach Tshuva, if somebody stole an esrig before Sukkot and wants to return it after Sukkot, there we won't say harei shalcha lefanecha. He'll have to give him the value of what he stole. He'll have to give back the value of what he stole according to what it was worth at the time that he stole it. Esve, Abaye l'Rabba. Abaye asks Rabba, where Rabba had asked this question, what is the status of Yush? Esve, Abaye l'Rabba. The Torah, when it speaks about the chiv of bringing a carbon, the Torah in the beginning of Parshas Vayikra says, Im oilu karbonoi, the halach is karbonoi, you could only bring your own carbon, v'loi hagozel, not something was stolen. So, ask the Gemara, Hechidami, exactly what is the situation? Ilei melifnei yish, if we're talking about that this animal that was stolen before the owner was miyaj, lamali mikra, what do we need a, lamali kra, what do we need a pasuk to say that it's disqualified? Pshita, it doesn't belong to the person, to this gazlan. Elalav, what must be the case? Lachayish. So what do we see? That even though the gazlan took ownership of this animal, it doesn't make a difference. Because shamino yish loikani. The halacha is, it doesn't become his. It's a mitzvah baba veira. But if yish is effective, it became his. And if it became his, and when he was magdish something that belongs to him, why can't he bring it as a carbon? Amalei rava. So Rava says, "Lo tameich, haritanya mishkavoi v'loy menag v'loy hagozel." The halacha is that a zov, who is a serious tamei, the Torah says, "Ish ish ki yeh zov mebsaroi zov tameihu," and anybody who touches the zov becomes tamei. And there's a special halacha called mishkav hazov, that any type of object that's meant for sitting or laying on, if a zov sat or laid on that object, they become an av hatoma. But there's a new halacha, mishkavoi v'loy hagozel, that mishkavoi, the Torah using the word mishkavoi, only says, speaks about something that the person who's a zov owns. And then if that person who's a zov sat on that object, it'll become tumah tumas mishkav. But if he doesn't own it, there is no din of Tumas Mishkov. So it says the Gemara, Hechidami, exactly what is the case here? Ilam the Gozel Amra, if we're going to speak that somebody stole wool for Avde Mishkov and he made out of it something to sit or lay on, would there be anybody that would suggest that that doesn't become the property of the Gazlans? Elamas Lechmaima, for that, so why would we say it doesn't become Tumas Mishkov? Elamas Lechmaima, what must be the case? The gozel mishkav dechavrei. Somebody stole somebody else's chair, bed, whatever, and the halacha is that it doesn't become his, the gazlins that he can be matamit. So doesn't it speak about here? The gazel carbon, the chavre. The case is that somebody stole somebody else's carbon, and now the gazlin wants to bring it. That's why it's not going to be a good carbon. But it has nothing to do with the halacha of Yiyush before the gazlin was magdashit. So, therefore, the Gemara is saying that we can't bring a raya from Yiyush to carbon, because carbon is talking about that he stole a real carbon. That's really something that was a really ready carbon. Here, so was not the case. The halacha is that leather could be fashioned into something that could be makabel tumah. Leather could also be not fashioned into something and ready be makabel tumah, depending on what was the intention of the person who owns this leather. If he decided that he still needs to work with this leather, so the leather is not yet a keli, and since it's not, it's being used for shoes or whatever, and since it's not a keli yet, it's not makabel tumah. If he decided that it's going to be used as is, it's going to be makabel tumah. So ask the Gemara, asks Abaye to Rabbi Yosef. The Mishnah Masech, the Kalim Perichov of Mishnah Ches says, Oyrusha Balabayis, that if you have leather that belongs to an individual, that he's not intending to sell that leather, he intends to use the leather himself. Machshava Matamason, if the owner of this leather decides that he will not be using this leather for, he will not be further processing this leather, since he won't be further processing this leather, so it's ready, finished, and it's going to become tamei. Well, however, if it's leather shel avdon, if it's leather that belongs to somebody who's working with the leather, so it's his intention to sell the leather. Since it is his intention to sell the leather, until the person who buys the leather and decides what he wants to do with the leather, the thought of the person who is working with the leather, his thought alone, Eimachshava metamasam, continues the Mishnah, Ganav Machshavos metamasam. If somebody stole leather, then the halacha is that his machshava is metamit. Because since, as we often explain, the difference between a ganav and a gazlan is that a ganav, the victim of the ganeva doesn't know who the ganav was. And since I, the victim, don't know who the ganav was, when it's stolen from me, I'm miyash, I give up. And since I'm miyash, it becomes the property of the ganavs. And since it becomes the property of the ganav, his machshava will be the determining factor. However, gazlon, where the person from whom is stolen knows who was the gazlon, and therefore the victim intends to call this person to Bezdin and hopefully retrieve what was stolen. So therefore, it doesn't really become the gazlan's, and ein machshava metamasam. Rav Shimon Omer chilftvar. Rav Shimon says just the opposite. Shagazlan machshava metamaslan. If somebody's a gazlan, that means he's brazen enough to steal something, and the victim knows that he's the one that stole it, but he's not scared. So that means that the victim has no recourse, and he's miyash. But a ganav, the victim is always hoping that it will be retrieved, because the person who stole it, obviously, is a person who's scared, because he didn't show himself. And therefore, eimach shamat ha-mosam, v'fish lo'in shi'ash v'abalam. Shema mino. So there's a question, the entire discussion here is, where is the yish, and where isn't the yish, by a ganav or a gazlan? But what is clear from this Gemara is that if there was yish, whatever the situation is that there's going to be yish by, it becomes the person who stole it. So isn't this a raya that yish koina? Amalei, there's no raya. Hachamai skinan, kagoin shikitsin. It's not just that he did, there was only yish. The person who stole it made physical change to it. And since he made physical change to it, so it's not just yish, we have coupled with the yish, shinu maisa. And when you have a combination of yish and shinu maisa, everybody agrees it becomes the ganavs. Maskul of Rav Abba, but you have to have yush. And now we have the machlokes. When is the yush? Maskul of Rav Bachano, valoy itzpa. Sometimes somebody steals a piece of leather, which is used like a tablecloth. Shanukan is also part of what's discussed in that Mishnah. Vitzpa, when we speak a piece of leather that's going to be used for a tablecloth, ain't tzrach kitzua. There's nothing done to it. It doesn't need work. It's not like when you're making leather into shoes that you have to work with the leather. The Tanan, as the Mishnah, the previous Mishnah, Kalim Perichavov, Mishnah Zayin says, where there's no processing necessary on the leather, just machshava that you decided that you're going to use it this way is enough. And yesh chsar na malacha, but if it's something that still needs to be processed, ein machshava metamasai, then the machshava alone won't make it into a keli, chutzman itzba. Because even though even a tablecloth may need some minor processing to cut it to be the right shape, it doesn't make a difference. It's not going to be considered. Right? It's not going to be considered a real significant maisa. But what we see, so the question is, so we see from here that there's yish alone. There's no shinu maisa because even cutting a tablecloth is not really considered as a significant maisa, and yet we're saying that it becomes the property of the one that stole it. Says the Gemara, Ela Marava, Haimel Sakosh Bei Rabba L'Rab Yosef, Aset Tatnim Shnin. Rabba was asking Rabbi Yosef this question for 22 years, V'lo Ifrika, and wasn't answered. Ad the Yosef Rabbi Yosef Bereisha, until Rabbi Yosef became the Rosh Yeshiva or Perka. And he says, Shina Maisa, Shina Hashem Kishina Maisa. Just like a Shina Maisa doing something is significant, so too Shina Hashem is significant. And the Gemara explains itself. Shina Maisa, my time, Mahosam Mikara Eitzim, Vashta Kalim. What does Shina Maisa represent? That you would transform something from wood into a Keli, it's considered significant. Shina Hashem Nami, Mikara Karli Mashka. It was originally piece of leather, Vashta Avrazon, and now it's a tablecloth. So even though there was no significant Shinui Maisa required, but the fact that it changed names, it changed titles, it changed description, that's considered enough. So that's why the person who makes the Shinui Hashem coupled with the Yiyush is Koinet. But Yiyush itself would not be a way, Yiyush itself would not be a way to be Koinet. So why is it significant that to add in the Gemara that Rabbi Yosef had this question for 22 years and didn't wasn't able to come up with an answer until he became Rosh Yeshiva? So one answer I saw from the Sefer Sheris Menachem is that the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Yudalid Amar Aleph teaches us Ein Adam Oyla L'Gdula, a person doesn't go up to a position of prominence, Elm Ke Moichlin Lai Kol Avanaisav, until he has Mechilas Averis. Mechilas Averis is considered a Shinu Hashem. And that's why when Rabbi Yosef became Rosh Yeshiva, he understood the significance of a Shinu Hashem, and that's why he was able to say this Teretz. He now understood what a Shinui Hashem meant. The Chasam Sofer has a different explanation. The Chasam Sofer says that Rabbi Yosef was very modest. And since he was very modest, people didn't really respect him properly. And he needed to change somewhat in order that people should have the proper respect for him. That's a representation of Shinui Hashem. Along the same line, I saw that Rabbi Yosef, when he became the Rosh Yeshiva, he was known to be a Baki. He knew a lot, but he wasn't known to be a Lamdan. And therefore, people were questioning his qualification to be a Rosh Yeshiva. But now he wanted to show that he's a lamdan. And that was, he had a shinui Hashem. He's not just a baki, he's a lamdan. So he became aware of the significance of a shinui Hashem, and that's why he was able to say the teretz that he just gave in our Gemara.